Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Welcome to the service today. What a blessing to be gathered together in the name of the Lord, where we can worship Him in spirit and truth, where we can find, our God is ever present with us. But I believe today He has ordained a special day of rest and a day when we can come aside and to worship God in with our brothers and with our sisters and to pray together and to share our hearts together. And what a tremendous blessing and a privilege we have in our day that we still have the freedom to do this. We know that there's a time coming when we believe that we may no longer have that freedom, but today we want to thank the Lord that we still have that opportunity that we can gather together in His name. So I just have an opening scripture here I'd like to share with you, and then we'd like to have a word of prayer. It's in, if I can find it here, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. This past week I've been reading through Ezra as I've been working my way through the Old Testament, and I came to this verse in Ezra 8:21, and I'm sure I've read it before, but I guess this time when I read it, it really caught my attention. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but if you would like, you'd be welcome to follow along. It says, "Then I proclaimed a fast," in Ezra 8:21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." And I just had to think, and today, is that not what we're doing as we gather together as a body of Christ? Are we not coming together to seek the right way to seek God? We do that at home too, I trust, but to seek God and to seek Him for our little ones, for the children, and how we should live our lives in this day in which we live. Just a thought that blessed me this past week as I meditated on that. So with that, why don't we just have a word of prayer here. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the privilege of coming together in the house of the Lord to worship You, Father, and that we can worship You in spirit and in truth today. We thank You for the beautiful snow. We thank You, Father, that You've again just allowed us to see the picture of where You tell us that our sins can be washed white as snow. And we thank You for this morning, that our sins can be cleansed and we can walk in newness of life, and that we can truly serve a risen Lord this morning. We thank You, Lord, that the tomb is empty, Lord, that the stone is rolled back. And Father, if we look in there today, there is Jesus Christ is no longer there, but He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, as it says in Your Word, interceding for us. So Lord, we thank You for this. We bow here. We ask that You would be with us today, that You would allow us to speak, allow those that are sharing to speak the Word of God in truth and in spirit, Father, that Your Word would bear forth much fruit in our lives, that we would go forth from this place, Father, and we know we will go forth with more knowledge than we came, as Your Word is exposed to us, and we ask that we might also be faithful to apply it to our lives in order to glorify You more in the days that are ahead of us. Lord, we thank You this morning, especially for the freedom of gathering together, that we can still walk in these church doors and there is still there's nobody there hindering us. And so we thank You for this as well. Father, we just ask that You would be with us. I ask that You would calm my trembling knees and my quaking heart here, and that You would just be with us. Allow Your Word to speak into our lives. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, this morning I have been given Proverbs. Let's make sure I have the right verses. Proverbs 26, 1 through 5. So we're going to be looking at a couple of those verses. And lest I forget, after I take my seat, we'll have a children's lesson. And after the children's lesson, we'll lift up a mission fund offering. I just have a couple things I'd like to write up here on the board. I hate to destroy the wording that's up here already. Unless I can probably just reach up a little higher and put it above there. Fool, what does it mean? So in the context of the verses that we have today, and I'll just be honest with you this morning, when I first looked at these verses, I thought, my, you couldn't have asked me to share on a couple verses that were any harder to... As I looked at them at first, I pondered them and I couldn't... There was just a lot of... Especially verse 4 and 5 seemed to contradict each other. And verse 2 was kind of a hard one to discern, so I guess I... spent some time looking at these verses, different meanings and different thoughts that different versions had. I don't do that much. I don't like to, but I did find it helpful in this situation. So let's read Proverbs 26:1-5. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Well, as I meditated on this, ponder upon the first verse, in verse 1 there, it says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest. So he's giving us an example, a parallel. You know, as we think about it, you know, if this snow would have came in, let's say August, the corn's all planted, the beans are all in, and the ladies are planting the garden, and everything is out. Our gardens are out, and so we have a snow. And most likely it will destroy everything. And the devastation, the loss would be tremendous. We live in the Midwest. There would probably be almost the economy would suffer tremendously from this. Now in the second, it says, and as rain in harvest. Well, that's a little different there. You know, sometimes we do find rain in harvest. Sometimes we have rain, you know, when we're out trying to bale hay or get in the garden and everything's ready, but it's still it's a hindrance, or it's not something that's not quite right according to our mind. And so then here it compares the fool with that. It says, so honor is not seemly for a fool. So honor given to a fool is something that is... The word seemly means fitting or suited or lovely. So it's not fitting or it is not lovely to give honor to a fool. And if you give honor to a fool, you're more or less endorsing that person. And we, as we can read up here, a fool is someone that is stupid or silly. That is the Hebrew meaning. The Webster's gives us another thought, one that is... One lacking good sense and judgment. I thought that was a very revealing thing to say about a foolish person, one that lacks good sense and judgment. And I would say that we probably all know someone that is like that. And here, again, we're warned that we should, when we see a fool, you know, when we see someone that lacks wisdom and is stupid or silly, you know, what are our thoughts? How do we relate to him? And I think as we continue on, we'll get a little more of a picture how we should relate to him as we continue on reading here. In verse 2 it says, "As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." Now this verse doesn't say a thing about a fool, but we can only think that it's probably still referring to a fool, because we have a verse. It's between verse 1 and 3, and all five of these verses are speaking about a fool. So as a bird by wandering, and this verse took me, I still am very open to any thoughts that you have on this, because I'm not sure exactly, but I have some thoughts. It says, "As a bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." And today we're going to use that curse that shall not come causeless. We're going to use that in the life of a fool. So I believe all of you have probably seen birds flying through the air. I enjoy watching birds, especially some of the bigger birds floating around in the air. But we all know when a bird is flying aimlessly or when a bird has a mission. Usually when you see a bird with a mission flying to its nesting place, it's flying in a straight line. It doesn't go back and forth. And when you have one that is just wandering, you can kind of see it. Sometimes you see that in like the buzzards or the hawks. They tend to float around in the air. They just kind of wander. They have no purpose other than they're just floating around in the air trying to doing what they're created to do, I guess. The word wandering here just simply means what it says. It's aimless or a vagabond. So as they wander around, I think the thought that we gather here is that they're just kind of causelessly floating around. And so is the fool. The curse causeless shall not come on the fool. The curse that is, as I was meditating on this, I thought, well, what is a curse? What do we call a curse today? And I think, you know, sometimes we can say, you know, we can think it's a curse and maybe it's not. But it's the word curse means a evil or misfortune and something that is afflicted with evil. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, the curse causeless shall not come. You know, in a fool's life, the curse will come. It is just God has ordained it that a fool, that foolish people have a sense of they are not a blessed people. So I thought of this. I thought, well, you know, today in our society, 2 plus 2, they still say that it equals 4, but more and more they're starting to question some of those things. You know, is truth really truth? Today will we really be cursed? Will we really have God's hand? Will God's hand be upon us today if we're not obeying His commandments? It says the curse causeless shall not come. And today 2 plus 2 still equals, children, what is 2 plus 2 equal?
4.
That's right. It still equals that. And so it is in the Word of God. Today, God's Word still means exactly what it says. Even if they have come out with translations, and I've now just heard recently that they're asking them to take some of the radical statements out of the Bible. They no longer want them in there because they speak against our society. They speak against the things that our society is walking in. And so they're asking them to remove some of these harsh statements so that there is no... They don't want truth. There's no longer truth. There's no longer desired in our land. So that's a couple thoughts that I had on that verse. Verse 3, it says, "A whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass and a rod for the fool's back." Well, I don't know. I was thinking about it. Around here, I don't see it as much as we did in Illinois there, but everybody had a whip on the buggy. Now, they may have them here. It was pretty obvious because we had them stuck right on the side of the buggy. And it was just kind of, everybody had a whip. I couldn't think of anybody that didn't have a whip on their buggy. And that whip was to okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. What is the whip there for the horse? It is to encourage or direct. I don't know. I didn't like to use a whip too much, but there was times when you used it, and it was just something that you used if the horse was going too slow, and if the horse was just not maybe doing what he was supposed to, you just reach out, you know, and you just give him a little bit of an encouragement to that you're still here. And the bridle on a mule, well, I've never drove a mule. I've never been too fond of the creatures myself, but they need a bridle. You need a bridle to guide a mule. They're very stubborn and can be sometimes, they're very smart actually. But so we have to have these two things, a whip for a horse and a bridle for the ass. And just as much as these things are a part of this, of a horse and a mule or an ass, so also is a rod just as much the part of a fool's back. And I had to think of that. You know, it talks a lot in Proverbs about training up your children, training children, and it talks about the rod. And today, we address, as a church, we believe that we can address our children with the rod to drive foolishness. It says to drive foolishness far from them. And I just had to think, you know, what is the end if a child has never met the rod? I'm not saying that he can't can't become a foolish person afterwards, but how much more of a chance do you have to raise a child that is a fool, that is foolish, that is, as it says back here, stupid or silly, lacking common sense? How much more is your child liable to go in there if today you don't bridle that foolishness? And what am I to speak on that? I've experienced it, but it's only been from Proverbs 13:24. There's a scripture here that I was make sure I have the right one. Actually, let's look at Proverbs 10:13 first. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Now we're here we're referring to things in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and as we look at this, it says here that is a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. So I think there it's talking of an older person. It doesn't say anything about a child here. But I do think that it could be taken in the sense of a child, you know, to train a child. I want to come back to that verse here a little later. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." So if you spare your rod, it is saying that you hate your son. And I believe that is what it's talking about, is that as you... If you're thinking ahead, if you're thinking of the future, as you observe the children, as you see their ways of foolishness at times, and as that is chastened, it is doing a work that is shaping them and molding them for the future. And today, let's read one more verse and then we'll come back to that thought today. Proverbs 29:15. I'll just turn there quick and read it and then we'll... The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I'm sure that you have seen that. You know, you go into the grocery store, and I don't go there a lot, but I remember seeing it in the past. You know, you see a little child, he's throwing a fuss and the mom's embarrassed, and the dad's embarrassed, and the child's mad at both of them. And there is no reproof given to that child, and he brings his mother to shame. You see them laughing and trying to cover up for what they know is wrong in their child's life. And you know, you give that child 15 years, where will he be? I believe he will be in what we're talking today. He will be an undisciplined person. That is, how can I say it? They're a detriment to our society today. Today, I was meditating on this, I thought, well, what is our today? We don't see a foolish person on the street, and I have never taken it upon myself to go up and hit him with a rod to try to straighten him back out. But I think we can go, and I think that God does that. I think that today, in when we're supposed to turn our, you know, to treat one another as we would have us to be treated, I think God is the one that is doing that. I think today there is still a rod. There is still a rod for the fool. There is still a punishment. There is still the hand of the Lord is still upon them, and they still receive their due reward at times. Now, when that all happens, I'm not here to say, but I think that that we see it in their lives. Many times it comes out in how, I don't know. I know a few people that I would just say they're a very foolish person. They make poor decisions. They do things foolishly. And there's something on their lives you can just sense that God's blessing is not upon them. And I think today that is how God deals with those people. In 2 Timothy 3:6, I'll just turn there since we're, I can find it myself here. 2 Timothy 3:6, this is where my thoughts went as I thought of foolishness. It says, we should start in verse 5 in chapter 3. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You know, if we have a person in our congregation or in our today in our setting here in church that is foolish, I will just throw out a caution that I will say that brother or that sister will be deceived very, very easily. He has had no discipline in his life. He has not disciplined himself. He is foolish. He goes with the people that are always laughing, always telling silly jokes, always saying stupid things that don't amount to anything. That person will be very likely to be deceived. Just a thought. I find it very interesting that the word fool, Solomon uses the word fool 37 times in the book of Proverbs. It has only four different meanings. Most of them are in this sense. The one meaning of the word fool that he uses, which is used, I believe, only two times, it may be three times, is the Greek meaning for the word fool in the way it's used there is spelled basically the same as our word evil, how we spell evil today. So we see it, that is how serious the word foolish is. Now, this is not how these five verses, it's not that it's not used quite that strongly in the Hebrew. Okay, moving on to verse 4. And I think we'll just take verse 4 and 5 together, since that's kind of the best way to look at them, I believe. Answer not a fool according to his folly. So don't answer a fool. If a fool talks to you in foolishness, don't reply to him in foolishness. If a fool is wanting to start a conversation with you, it may be okay to enter that conversation. But as he begins to pour out his heart, and the foolishness begins to come forth, you're not obligated to say anything. It says here, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. I'm sorry. Lest thou, I'm sorry, I put verse the last of verse 5 into verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So are you, if we're speaking with a fool, we are to lift up a standard. We are to answer him. It says, answer a fool according to his folly. And as I thought about that and I pondered that verse for quite a while, it says, answer a fool. So you're to give him an answer back that is according to his folly. It's not answering foolishly, but according to what he has said, you answer. You return him an answer that maybe causes him to think about what he says. Back in verse 4, Proverbs, there's a couple verses here that I thought were just beautiful. Proverbs 24, verse 9, it says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to a man. So we often hear that. I think about that verse a lot. It says the thought. It's not that if you do it, if you think about it, it's okay. Here it says the thought. So even if you have a thought of foolishness, it says it is sin. So that should be able to help us understand that a little. And Proverbs 29:15, we have a verse. Proverbs 29:20, that was an earlier verse that we read. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So here it's actually saying that a man that is hasty in his words, there's more hope for this fool that we've just been talking about than for the man that utters hasty words. And that challenges me as I think about that. It's very easy. It's very easy to speak quickly and to speak out of turn. So it says, to answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also. And that's the thing that we want to look at. Lest thou also be like him. Are we willing today, as we may communicate at times, you know, whether it's at work or at wherever it may be, are we willing to when we talk with a fool or when he's talking to us, when somebody that is just, there is just foolishness, there is just silliness and goofiness, can we today just sit back, maybe give him a few minutes to talk, and then we can think about verse 5. Says, answer a fool according to his folly. In 2 Timothy 2:16, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So if we don't shun them, we need to shun them, because those things will increase. They will not only stop where they're at, they will not only be vain babblings now, but they will increase unto more and more ungodliness. It will continue to manifest itself, and it will become larger and larger. It will never, unless it's addressed, it won't be dealt with, I should say. In verse 5, let's look at this one now. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So I believe what we're seeing here is there's a right time to speak. There's a time when we can speak to this man, lest he be wise in his own, lest his mind begins to think that he is wise, lest he thinks that, you know, what he has said is something very hilarious and very funny. We're supposed to speak into his life if we as a child of God are speaking to him. Proverbs 29:11. I have a couple verses here that I would like to look at in closing here. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Well, you know, I've been around people, they just tell you just what they think. You know, they really don't hold anything back. Well, I think there's some people that are like that. They're just very much, they'll just pour out, you know, what they're thinking. And some of that is okay, I believe. Some of that, if it's done in a good way. But I think here it's talking about in a foolish sense. The fool, he just utters all his mind. But the wise man, what does he do? He keepeth it in. He keepeth his mind. He keeps his thoughts to himself until the right time, and then he unfolds it. He begins to share. He begins to share wisdom. He begins to understand the understanding that he has. And a wise man is one, you know, if a fool is one lacking good sense and judgment, a wise man should be one with good sense and judgment. One that understands and is able to apply things to our lives. And Proverbs 10:21. Have a verse to look at that. A verse to look there, I should say. The lips of the righteous. Now this is beautiful. This is a promise. The lips of the righteous, they feed many. The lips of a righteous man, there's people that can sit around him and they can just feed him. They're just fed. They listen to him, and the words that are proceeding from his mouth are gracious words. They're words of wisdom, words that will help you on, and words that will encourage you. But it has one more, but it says, but fools die for want of wisdom. So a fool, he will die. You know, there's some fools that may die. They will die for want of wisdom, but there is no wisdom in their life. They are empty. They are empty people. In closing, I have a couple verses here in 2 Timothy that I would like to look at, just to leave a couple thoughts with you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. So if we're in a situation where there's foolish and unlearned questions, it says to avoid them. Because all they do is they gender strife. They breed in you strife and going over things that are unnecessary, that are not. One thing that we can maybe put in this is, as I think about it, you know, right now the nation is in a very political mood. There's a lot of politics flying around, and is this person better than this one? And you know, they're all corrupt. But I think today we do well. If we just want to make one practical application, let's just avoid some of those conversations, knowing that they do gender strifes. You know, you're going to find that a large percentage of people will disagree with you. We, as a people of God, we should, first of all, not believe that there's anyone that will bring change to America. Because if it would bring change for the better, then the Bible would not be true. Because we know that we are in the last days and things will only continue to get worse and worse. But the servant of the Lord must not strive. So let's not strive, but be gentle unto all men. It doesn't say to be gentle to the men that treat you well, but all men, even the men that treat you wrongly or unjustly. And we must be apt to teach and patient. So today, as we ponder the thoughts of a fool, as we ponder what was shared on a fool, we don't have to stay there. We don't have to think on the negative side. We can think on the positives. We can think on how then do we, as the children of God, live our lives? Do we live a holy life that is set after the example that Jesus Christ gave us? So may we strive for that. May we be found faithful. Faithful until the end, because it's only those that will inherit eternal life. So with that, I think I will. I think that's all I have to share today. May God richly bless you, and may His peace rest upon your lives.